It's Friday, September 11th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com.
Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. If the audio quality sounds a little bit different, it's because I'm testing the recording of the new remote system that I'll be using when I'm out on the road in Boston for the Freedom Rally, in San Francisco for the Normal Conference, and in Madison, Wisconsin for the Great Midwest Harvest Festival. So we'll just see how well it records and what adjustments I will have to make. Also, today's stash will be a little bit different. We have no interview for today's stash. Very, very busy getting ready for Portland Hemp Stock this weekend. And instead, I would like to share with you my thoughts on this 8th anniversary of September 11th. 8 years ago today, I was living in an alternate reality. I was Mr. Button-Down Corporate Dude, commuting across town in Boise, Idaho, teaching computer software to corporate audiences for a company called New Horizons. On that particularly unremarkable Tuesday morning, I was scheduled to teach an advanced course in Microsoft Project. I arrived at work at 7:46 a.m. Mountain Time. By then, it had been 1 hour since the first jet hit the World Trade Center and 44 minutes since the second jet hit. But I drive to work without any radio, and I was a bit late, so I go straight from the prep room to my classroom to set up. On the way, I noticed two co-workers intently studying their internet connections and mentioning something about a plane hitting a building in New York, but nothing that catches my attention more than it being just a small plane and a tragic accident. My class begins at 8:30 a.m. By now, all flights have been grounded, and President Bush has addressed the nation about the terrorist attacks over an hour ago. A half hour prior, Todd Beamer and the heroes of United 93 are fighting their hijackers and crash landing their jet outside of Shanksville, PA, and the South Tower, upon which I had stood just 5 years before, has collapsed. The North Tower collapses just 2 minutes before I begin my presentation. I teach my 16 corporate project managers until the first break at 10:30 a.m. None of us have any idea that our nation is under attack. Nobody from our sales staff or management bothers to tell any of us, though they know, as they were huddled around a television in the break room. At break, nearly every teacher and student has gathered in this room to watch the news reports. President Bush gives a statement 6 minutes into the break. It is clear that we are at war. I am devastated. I had served my state and country from 1985 through 1990 in the National Guard and have always been a proud American. Then comes a moment that crystallized my disdain for the corporate world. Thinking back today, I realize this is the moment where a part of me realizes that I cannot be Mr. Button-Down Corporate Dude for the rest of my life. Our company president announces that due to the attacks, any students who wish to leave will be given vouchers to retake their classes. In other words, for us teachers, the show must go on. For any students that don't want to retake the classes, and as luck would have it, my project managers had all come in from out of town, and all 16 decide to stay. Every other teacher was allowed to leave because all of their students were too upset to stay for class. But I had to spend the rest of September 11th, 2001, trying to teach advanced software skills when all I really wanted to do was watch the news and cry. that our company president didn't just shut down the business that day is something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. Every time I think about 9/11, I have to pull myself back from the conspiracy thinking and my urge to jump whole hog into the 9/11 truth movement. I think there are far too many unanswered questions about 9/11, but I'm overloaded as it is fighting prohibition without adding another huge cause to my agenda. But about that prohibition and 9/11, just remember, if the attacks were indeed masterminded by bin Laden and the Taliban out of the caves of Afghanistan, the money that fueled their activities was earned through the sales of opium for heroin, which is only massively profitable due to its prohibition. And today, the money that fuels the murderous activities of the Mexican drug cartels, who've killed quadruple the number of people killed on September 11th, by the way, is attributable to prohibition. Drug prohibition is a terrorist's best business opportunity. When you support prohibition, you support terrorism.
It comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Checking out our normal calendar of events, we want to let you know about the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association's All Things Cannabis Seminar taking place in Portland, Oregon. This will be eligible for CLE credits for all attorneys who attend. The Monolith Festival is going on in Denver, Colorado, out at Red Rocks Amphitheater, and Mile High Normal will be out there tabling for the event. And, of course, the Portland Hemp Stock is this weekend, the big event that closes out the hemp fests in the Pacific Northwest. Alan St. Pierre is in town, and he'll be with me at the Portland Hemp Stock, and as we do our live show, normal show live, from the event. Yes, we'll have all sorts of guests there, and I hope you tune in. You can check it out at live.normal.org. Also, if you'd like to catch the Cannabis Common Sense Show tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Alan and I will be on the show giving a preview of Hemp Stock. And for those of you in the Waco, Texas area, Normal of Waco is having their regular monthly meeting at Papa Rolo's Pizza in Waco, Texas. For details on all of these events and maps to the events, check out the Normal Calendar of Events at norml.org/calendar. And if you want to get your events on the calendar and read on this podcast, send me an email at stash@normal.org.
It's a normal shout-out.
Our shout-outs today go to America. That is all of you here in this great country who want to join us in ending adult marijuana prohibition. If you'd like to join Normal or form a Normal chapter in your area, send me an email at stash@normal.org. I've received some great emails from folks in the Maryland and Northern Virginia area responding to my earlier shout-outs this week. Let's get together sometime between September 20th and 22nd while I'll be in Washington, D.C., have ourselves a little coffee and talk about forming a Normal chapter. Now, coming up on your daily audio stash today, we begin with your hemp headlines, including a shocking tale out of Denver, Colorado, where police are accused of planting marijuana on a murdered 10-year-old girl. Fortune magazine takes a look at cannabis business and how marijuana became legal. And the Guardian UK newspaper notes how Americans are now growing marijuana to cope with the recession. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, features Pyrex and their song Substance Abuse. And we end the show with a preview of Portland Hemp Stock. All that and more coming up today on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines.
Denver cops accused of planting marijuana on dead 10-year-old girl. From the Denver Post. A defense attorney for Leo Cisneros accused the Denver police this morning of planting drugs in a child's pocket and of conducting sloppy investigative work, and criticized them for focusing on the victim of a crime rather than the perpetrators. Cisneros is charged with reckless child abuse resulting in the death of his 10-year-old daughter, Aurelia Cisneros, and possession of marijuana with intent to sell. He faces more than 50 years in prison if he is convicted. Aurelia was shot in the face about 10:30 p.m. on November 26, 2007, during a shootout between her father and three men who tried to break into the front door of their West Denver apartment. The robbers, Trevi Trujillo, Joshua Rojas, and Juvencio Hernandez, have all pleaded guilty in the case and are serving, or are expected to serve, between 16 and 24 years in prison. Wait a minute. Three guys come breaking into your home, you defend yourself with your Second Amendment-protected firearm in a manner considered lawful under Colorado's Make My Day law, your innocent daughter is killed in the crossfire, and you face twice as much time in prison as the three sociopaths because you deal small amounts of weed? What's the lesson here? Yeah, I know, the prohibitionists would say, don't deal pot. But if you do, are they telling us that a dead child is what you deserve? Yeah, if you're dealing pot, let the gun-wielding trio of robbers come right in, take whatever they like, and do to you and your 10-year-old daughter whatever they want. The defense also told the jurors the robbers admitted they didn't know whether Cisneros had drugs to steal before they broke in. Police have testified that Aurelia had a baggie of marijuana that she was clutching in her hands inside her pants pocket at the time of her death. The defense told the jury that Aurelia's mother, a Denver police officer who was one of the first on the scene, and a neighbor who helped give Aurelia CPR, all testified that Aurelia's hands were across her chest when she died and were not in her pocket. By the time the coroner got on the scene, he testified that he pulled Aurelia's hand out of her pocket and found the baggie. The defense asserts that the Denver PD planted the marijuana on Aurelia, which the prosecution denies, of course. The prosecution also contends that Cisneros' gun was the one that fired the bullet that killed Aurelia, but since Denver PD didn't bother to trace the trajectories of the bullets from all the weapons, don't they watch CSI in Denver? Nobody can prove that one way or the other. The robbers weren't going after Cisneros because they knew he dealt weed. They were just robbers looking to steal whatever they could find. So Cisneros' pot dealing is irrelevant. He could have been drinking cans of Coors Light when the bad guys broke in. But because Coors Light is legal and cannabis is not, Cisneros is looking at spending the rest of his life behind bars, grieving for his lost daughter. Fortune Magazine's How Marijuana Became Legal, a fantastic primer on cannabis policy. It is a lengthy article, but Fortune Magazine's How Marijuana Became Legal is a fantastic read. Click the link over at stash.normal.org to read the whole thing. It gives the reader who knows little about medical marijuana or cannabis a very even-handed look at the history of medical marijuana from the 1978 Compassionate Investigative New Drug Program through Prop 215. It takes a look at the dispensaries in California and explains some brief history of marijuana prohibition and Normal's attempts to overturn it. I only took issue with one section. Modern-day medical assessments of marijuana's properties have not corroborated the outsized dangers that lawmakers had attributed to the plant. While it is, quote, a powerful drug, end quote, concluded an Institute of Medicine report conducted in 1997 at the behest of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, its, quote, adverse effects are within the range of effects tolerated for other medications, end quote. Yes, someone who is high on marijuana shouldn't drive, his motor skills and mental powers are impaired, but that's true of alcohol and many prescription drugs, too. The long-term risks to chronic users appear to center mainly on the generic dangers of smoking, respiratory disease, and possibly lung cancer, and upon the, quote, mild and short-lived, end quote, withdrawal symptoms that a minority of marijuana users experience, according to the IOM experts. They considered marijuana less addictive than tobacco, codeine, or Valium. As longtime stashers know, Dr. Donald Tashkin's 30 years of trying to find a link between marijuana smoking and lung cancer found no correlation, and even a suggestion of protective effect against cancer from marijuana smoking. Further studies have shown no link to emphysema or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease either. Chronic smoking can lead to bronchitis or a nasty cough, which is why we always recommend vaporization. Fortune also is a bit undecided on the smoking and driving point. Earlier in the story, they note Irv Rosenfeld's chain smoking of joints while he drives, and later in the story, they point out the federal prescription guidelines don't forbid driving under the influence of 100% THC Marinol, only that it cautions users not to drive, quote, until it is established that they are able to tolerate the drug and to perform such tasks safely, end quote. Americans growing marijuana to beat the recession. From The Guardian UK. Law enforcers on the west coast of the U.S. and in the middle states straddled by the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains are reporting a common trend. It is boom time for marijuana cultivation, and much of the incentive, they say, is to beat the recession. Ed Shimelia, who leads the marijuana eradication program in the Appalachia region, says a new type of grower is emerging, wholly different to the family cartels that have cultivated the drug for generations. Quote, we are seeing a lot more individuals who wouldn't normally be growing marijuana. They are not your professionals, end quote. Shimelia puts it down to the dire economy in this part of America. The region is almost entirely dependent for jobs on coal mining, which has suffered severely from the recession. Quote, people are growing marijuana to supplement their income or support themselves in poor economic times. This is about economic necessity, end quote, he said. I often wonder how much of the continuance of marijuana prohibition rests on our government's inability to provide a living wage to the poor. Prohibition is already a jobs program for cops, lawyers, prosecutors, judges, and prison guards, but how much is it a de facto jobs program for the urban poor in our inner cities and our rural poor in places like Appalachia? If marijuana were re-legalized, just how high would the unemployment rate rise as unskilled young men in the cities lose their under-the-table weed-dealing income? How bad would the already crippling poverty in Appalachia be without clandestine marijuana growing? Some people complain about government programs that act as a redistribution of wealth from the rich to the poor. But what is prohibition, if not a Robin Hood that takes money from the suburban kids and urban professionals who can afford $300 to $450 per ounce, and gives it to the urban kids and rural folk who are so desperately poor they must risk incarceration to make a decent living?
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Normal National Conference 2009. Yes, we cannabis. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is proud to invite you to our 38th Annual National Conference to be held Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree, as support for legalization tops 50% in some polls, and overwhelming majorities support both medical marijuana and decriminalization, the people are saying, yes, we cannabis.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana. Thursday is devoted entirely to medical cannabis with experts in medicine, law, and business who practice in medical marijuana states. Friday and Saturday, you'll learn about the politics, strategy, and social science of legalization at the national and grassroots level. with a special focus on Normal's local chapters.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary, and we're celebrating the successes of 13 medical marijuana states, 13 decrim states, and more bills introduced concerning marijuana law reform than ever before, including 3 bills at the federal level. Thursday, we present the High Times Normal Activist Awards. Friday is a special invitation-only party for Normal chapter leaders, and Saturday is the famous Normal fundraising party.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation, I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. Wrapping up Urban Music Week is the popular rap band from California, Pyrks, with their song Substance Abuse. Pyrks' high-energy music is a mix of hip-hop, rock, and reggae. The group have toured the U.S. and have had national exposure in more than a dozen well-known magazines. Pyrks have performed with such greats as Stephen Marley, Redman, Eka Mouse, the Cottonmouth Kings, and many more. In 2008, Pyrks received the Best Underground Artist Doobie Award from High Times magazine. Pyrks recently performed at Seattle Hemp Fest and with reggae's well-known star, Collie Buds. They are currently preparing for the Great Reggae Rising Festival. To keep updated about Pyrks, check out myspace.com/Pyrks, that's P-Y-R-X, and registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune, It's Substance Abuse, by Pyrks.
Littering and smoking the reefer. Had to teach you boys a lesson. I'm so rad at my act to stand here while you three smoke all the way.
Substance abuse. Everybody looking for their turn to use. Substance abuse. Everybody looking for their turn to use.
It's a fact that got me dreamy, I'm in constant denial. I'm waking up to an organic smile as the smoke man leaves my lungs. You can tell by the stack of my funds, it's the hustle in my ground blood through my family tree. I inherit an addictive personality. Workaholic turns alcoholic, turns drug addict, addict to convicted felon. I'm guessing man, he just fell in to this hellhole of a trap, fighting for his life that'll never get back, trying to get on the right side of the track with his back against the wall. 5 boys to feed, a father to be, a wife abused emotional and mentally. As you're asking yourself, oh God, why me? What did I do to deserve this? He don't answer back, so you just get pissed. It's hard to see clear when all you see is the mist. You try to reminisce on the things that you miss.
Substance abuse. Everybody looking for their turn to use.
abuse, substance abuse. Everybody looking for their dirty use. Put the mic up in me hands, I'm in need of a quick fix, man. You don't understand what this will do to you. Be one is the crew, and you know that we're rolling through. So sit back and relax, take a puff off this lyrical smokestack. We better get smacked back. Listen to the words that we speak, cause we tried to teach conscious living through everything we might meet. It's all substance abuse. If you can't control your use, you're like me, you just cut loose. Cause I'm from the 707, Mando. I'm homegrown, a NorCal soldier that can't leave a beat alone. It gets into your head, the sensation you get through with accomplishment. So hold it, cause you can never control it. I can't control this substance abuse. Everybody looking for their turn to use. Substance abuse. Everybody looking for their turn to use.
Is it actions or my addictions that's causing my conflictions? I'm moving with the speed of sound. Now, relationships are the ones you love, the ones that you surround. But watch your back, boy, you never know. They'll try and take you down. They'll take your girl, they'll take your money, they'll take your whole world now. You gotta stand up and brawl with all your might. Don't give up the fight. So no matter your choice of substance abuse, you better watch what you use. Drugs, sex, cigarettes, and caffeine. Alcohol, pills, and TV. Too many people leave before the time to be. Moderation is the only key.
Substance abuse.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Every April 20th, or 420, cannabis consumers celebrate our community and culture. Use this opportunity to talk to your friends about becoming active in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. There is a chapter of Normal in your area that needs your creativity and energy. Visit norml.org and click on Local Chapters to find Normal in your area. If there is no chapter in your area, we can help you start your own. Ending adult marijuana prohibition is a grassroots effort that will take every one of us working together. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
Leave you today with a reminder to check out Normal Show Live tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time at live.normal.org. We will be on site at Portland Hemp Stock, and possible guests include Jack Herer, the Emperor of Hemp, Amy Nelson and Kathy Guthrie from Folk Uke, John Trudell, the Santee Sioux spoken word artist and American Indian activist, Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, Madeline Martinez from the Normal Board of Directors, Executive Director Alan St. Pierre of Normal, and many others. It's going to be kind of an ad hoc lineup, and we will have a live audience checking out the show, so don't miss it, 6 p.m., live.normal.org. You'll also be able to catch the replay. It'll be archived for the rest of the week, and you can listen to it anytime you like.
Have yourself a great weekend, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.